It's time for the Kelly Kelly Show. Kelly is an award-winning photographer and the owner of the website iloveclearwater.com. Doug is the author of 4 published books and a contributing editor for Florida Sportsman magazine. And now, here they are.
Well, we're here indeed. We have a really nice friend featured on the show today. And we'll be breaking tradition and talking a bit with him about some of the international situation that confronts us, as well as some new statewide regulations recently signed into law.
Besides listening to our show, you can also watch it live on Facebook at the Kelly Kelly Show page. The show is also being podcast and appears on the station's YouTube channel, WTAN Tan Talk.
Yeah. You know, it's actually on the podcast, we do have some expats from the area who stay in touch with us. And I think we have a couple of them in Germany and Spain and even Australia. I don't know of any in China. I don't think we have
Italy,
any.
I know.
Italy, yeah. For sure. Anyway, Big Ed Davis is with us today in the control room. He's the executive producer of the Tan Talk Radio Network and responsible for this studio that's clustered in diamonds and emeralds and rubies. And Ed, many local Bucks fans are looking forward to the upcoming draft of college players to join the team. What do you see the Bucks need?
Oh, yippee, it's time to get excited. It's the draft.
Yeah, right.
you'd always use that great offensive lineman if you can get one.
Yeah, true.
But they're going to be picking down at the bottom there. And, man, sometimes it's just the best available.
Yeah, best athlete.
At that spot, you know, maybe somebody that slips that you didn't expect to slip down that far.
Right.
Looking pretty good. I mean, each year we're trying to beef up the defense. But getting Randy Gregory over in the offseason might be because, you know, when the Bucks defense was always good, we always had that outside guy that was a little out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always Simeon Rice, and then it was JPP. And
sure.
Gregory's a little out there. So
okay. All right.
I think the defense is good. I really do.
And it was pretty solid.
With what's his name? Whitehead coming back. And
the offensive line is always an issue. And Jimmy Johnson.
You never have too many, you know?
Jimmy Johnson told me that when he builds a team, he starts with the elephants on the line.
Yeah.
Because without that pass protection, you're completing little dumps. And without that ability to block, you don't have running backs getting too far.
Yeah.
So, Brian, you want to weigh in on this, I see.
Yeah, well, you know, they need interior offensive linemen, and you can usually find them later in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
It's the left tackles, the big tackles that go early, so they might be able to pick up if there's a game changer at their pick.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I see them maybe taking Chop Robinson from Penn State. He's an edge that runs 4.8.
Wow.
4.48, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
He's dynamic, and he's the kind of guy that balls could turn into a really good defensive end and pass. Well, they need a pass rusher.
That's pretty fast. That's pretty fast for a big guy. 4.48,
and he's just one of the guys. But you know, we'll see. They need a center, and I think they'll pick up a center at some point. You can get them in the second round, even the third round, some of them, because they don't put as much of a premium on those interior guys as they do defensive ends, offensive tackles, wide receivers, quarterbacks, of course.
Well, the poster boy, of course, for the draft is Tom Brady, who was in the sixth round, number 199. But those only come around once in a generation, so I think we're gonna, be okay with Baker Mayfield. He showed he had talent last year, behaved himself instead of his initial 2 or 3 years in the NFL where he was still a college boy. So, what do you think?
Sometimes it's just such a crapshoot these days, you know.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what the number one overall pick is gonna wind up panning out.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that said I'm gonna pick where I want to go, and then also he wanted a piece of the franchise.
Oh my!
He had a bad game. He jumped into the stands into mommy's arms, and then it's gonna be in Chicago.
Yeah.
Hey, I hear you. Something I watched on YouTube. Yeah, Brian. Laugh at this because YouTube's got some great stuff. There's 49ers and the Broncos, 1988. Full game.
Wow.
You know, 80s commercials was beautiful in there. Of course, the Bucks game flashed early in the day. They were beat, of course. Figure that in 88, they got beat, you know.
They got beat a lot. Yep.
To watch Elway and Montana duking it out in a full game like it was yesterday.
Dan Marino. Live.
So,
yeah.
Good stuff on YouTube these days.
Sure is. Mikel?
My keyboard quit working, so while you've been going on and on about football, that's what I'm trying to fix there, but I wanted to mention the Amplify Golf Tournament. It's coming up May 6th, annual. Do you play in that, Brian?
I do. I'm not a golfer anymore.
You're not a golfer,
I've had too many broken down ice athlete injuries to be. I do other stuff. I play pickleball. I lift weights, so I still hit the bag, and I work out, but... Well, that twist and a turn is not good for my low back.
Yeah. Okay. Not good for the hips. You know, a lot of people have had hip replacements, starting with Jack Nicklaus, after all that torque.
Probably all the golf you play.
All that torque, it does grind out your hip bones pretty good.
Okay.
It does.
Well, we're going to take a short break, but first see if you know the answer to this trivia question. Who was the tallest president we've ever had? Is it Alexander Hamilton, Donald Trump, or Abraham Lincoln? The answer right after this.
The Rays and Yankees met in a series.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network. This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
In 1955, the law firm now known as Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes made a decision. Instead of taking whatever cases came through their doors, they decided to focus specifically on personal injury. 64 years later, the law firm is one of Clearwater's longest-running personal injury firms. Available 24 hours a day with offices in Clearwater and throughout Tampa Bay, they're ready to put decades of experience to work for you if you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident or injured due to someone's negligence or recklessness. If you feel overwhelmed, uncertain, or unsure about your next steps after being involved in an accident or after a loved one sustained serious injuries due to someone else's negligence, call Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes at 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. That's 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. Non-attorney spokesman.
Shop the largest selection of Guy Harvey apparel, artwork, and gift items at GuyHarvey.com. From the world-renowned marine wildlife artist, the Guy Harvey online shop features the latest in performance apparel, classic Guy Harvey t-shirts, decor for every room in your home, exquisite ocean-inspired jewelry, and unique gift items, including custom merchandise not available anyplace else. Browse an extensive catalog of original Guy Harvey works of art and a full range of beautiful reproductions. As with all Guy Harvey merchandise, a percentage of sales benefits the ocean conservation, research, and education work of the Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation. The Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation will help ensure that future generations can enjoy and benefit from a well-balanced ocean ecosystem. Bring the undersea world into your everyday life at GuyHarvey.com.
Just about everyone is fascinated by the mafia. Books and movies like The Godfather, Goodfellas, Casino, and many others became bestsellers and box office hits. Did you know that a century ago, mobsters like Al Capone discovered Florida's tropical climate and sparse law enforcement? Mafia bosses from around the nation began setting up illegal operations in Florida. Now, for the first time, a new book titled Sunshine State Mafia, A History of Florida's Mobsters, Hitmen, and Wise Guys provides vivid stories and never-before-seen images of dangerous criminals who settled in Florida full or part-time. Written by renowned author Doug Kelly, Sunshine State Mafia exposes the hidden history of the mob throughout the state and includes Doug's own brushes with crime figures. Sunshine State Mafia is available at all major book retailers or obtain a signed copy by calling 727-724-4949. Or email sunshinestatemafia@gmail.com.
You run your business with a laser-like focus on success. Challenges come at you from every angle, but you stay the course. Your calendar is full and your time is limited. So how do you deal with governmental issues that can impact your business? Turn to Amplify Clearwater, your chamber of commerce for Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Amplify Clearwater monitors legislation on the city, county, and state levels to identify issues that will impact businesses in the region. Then they become your voice to our elected representatives. They listen, watch, then take action to either support positive legislation or table bills that would negatively affect our business community. But they need your support to continue this vital work. Why not join the chamber today? Visit AmplifyClearwater.com for all the details and to submit a membership application. Amplify Clearwater. One community, one chamber, one vision.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, thanks for being with us here. And we're also getting a little bit of music background. Thank you, Ed. Appreciate that. I'm Doug Kelly, and I'm here with my better three quarters or seven eighths, Kelly Kelly, and also Big Ed Davis in the control room. And before we took when we took the break, we asked a question, trivia question. Who was the tallest president we've ever had? And we asked if it was Alexander Hamilton, Donald Trump, or Abraham Lincoln. And I think most people would know it was Abraham Lincoln. And there's a little trick answer in there. By the way, Alexander Hamilton was never a president. He is on the $10 bill.
I didn't catch that.
Yes. And matter of fact, that's a great bar question.
Yeah.
If you tell somebody, can you tell me the president on the $10 bill, they'll say no, and then they'll just disappear into the bathroom. Or they'll go to the cashier and get checked through until they get a $10 bill. They'll come back and tell you Alexander Hamilton. And then you get to say, you owe me a drink. He was never president. Sorry I had to put you through all that.
Oh, yeah. Donald
Half Trump, of them will look at their debit card.
Yeah. Donald Trump, by the way, claims he was 6'3". Uh-huh. Some dispute that. But at any rate, thanks for being with us. Our guest today is Brian. I'm sorry, Kel, did you want to say something?
I was going to say Abraham Lincoln was 6'4".
Yes, I thought I said that.
No,
maybe
did
I didn't.
Not.
Brian Ock Sr. was Clearwater's mayor from 1999 to 2005. And again, which we'll talk about later. But during that first phase, he was in charge of so many things that took place that were really productive for the city. We completed a new bridge and causeway linking its mainland and beach communities, opened a new community sports complex, now known as BayCare Ballpark, for the Philadelphia Phillies, constructed a new main library, plus a huge main library, and established new recreation centers, among other things.
Mm-hmm. And okay. The economic development in the city during that robust time totaled $750
million. $750
million. Thank you for correcting
yes.
me.
Yes.
Clearwater was even named Sports Town USA in Florida by Sports Illustrated magazine.
How about that? Pretty cool. Let's take a ride down history lane and first talk about the new bridge with Brian. What were the needs for it and the challenges to complete it?
Well, the challenge was that it was an all drawbridge that they didn't make parts for anymore, so they kind of had to jerry-rig it when it got stuck open. And, you know, there was a day or two where it got stuck open. People had to go down through Bel Air or Causeway to get to the beach. And, you know, if we had a storm, that was not going to work. The state said it was functionally obsolete but not physically obsolete, so they weren't going to replace it for 20 years. So we forced our hands by getting with Jack Liveval and, of course, Bill Young, who got his money from the United States government. Mm-hmm. He was the chair of the Appropriations Committee and put penny for Pinellas. And then we've got it, you know, done 20 some years before they said they were going to do it.
Thank heavens.
And now you've got four lanes in a storm that you can make one way off the beach to get people off the beach if the storm's coming and that type of thing. So,
sure.
It's much safer. It's much easier to traverse. It's great for people to want to walk it and ride bikes. You see people doing that all the time.
That's picturesque.
And it was just, it was time.
It was. It was. I know Ed would love to see lights put under it.
It's been discussed. I think that we'll get to that point at some point.
Yeah, I know there's a price tag of $3 or $4 million or something like that.
How
but
much?
It does really enhance the scene at night.
It does.
How much is it?
Well, the estimated cost would be $3 or $4 million.
Oh.
And then you have to constantly,
you have to upkeep it. Yeah.
You have to keep it up and all that stuff, change the bulbs or whatever they have to do. So, Kel, what's next?
How about what's happened now with BayCare Ballpark?
Well, BayCare Ballpark and the Phillies have come back and are now beginning to negotiate with the city and going to make a presentation with Barry Burton, the chair of the head of the county commission. Hired head, he's the executive director, I guess is his title, of the county, Pinellas County government. And they're going to take that to him before May 30th deadline. and get that on the table, and then continue to negotiate with the Philly, with the city and the county, and hopefully get something done. Sequentially, it's not going to be the whole project, the whole $365 million up front, but it'll be substantial. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see what happens. It's time for us to, as the entity that pays the most into the tourist development tax, almost 30% per year just from Clearwater and Clearwater Beach, we haven't gotten our fair share like St. Petersburg has over the years. Frank Hibbard will tell you that. George Credicus will tell you that. Mm-hmm. And they all know that. So it's really time for the county to step up, because the Phillies have tremendous numbers to show of the number of people from their credit card receipts, where they come from, and they come and stay overnight, and most of them stay a minimum of 3 to 4 days, some of them longer than that. So they put, as they call it, heads in beds, and that brings the tourism development tax.
Big time.
And that's what we need. And so that's the story they're going to tell, and we'll see what happens as it goes forward.
So $360 million for an entire complex, right? Does that include the apartments for the players?
No, there will be no apartments for players.
Okay.
There is going to be, they're going to put in their own, they're going to redevelop that whole shopping center there on the south side of the stadium on Drew Street where Kane's Furniture is. Mm-hmm. And they're going to build a mixed-use complex there. So they will have some housing there that can be used part-time for players, and then also people can stay there or maybe buy, that type of thing. That's fluid right now, but there's no dorms on the site, so that does not include that. That's been eliminated.
Oh.
They're going to take that part their own. So when they add that $250 million on top of the $360, you're talking about almost a $600 million project, which will be catalytic for that corner of Drew Street 19. That's now the redevelopment opportunity for the city of Clearwater. There's over 72 properties there that the city's now marketing to show there's a 7-mile stretch for mixed use, and it's got tremendous potential, and that would be just a crown jewel right in the middle of it.
Oh,
we're looking forward
to it. Puts us in the big leads
that.
For sure. You know, it's a political truism, even if it's unfortunate. When you have a county, the largest city in each county tends to want to draw all the money, and they're very, very slow to let loose of it. When I lived in the Florida Keys, Key West ran the rest of the Keys, even though they had a lot of people in Key Largo and in Marathon, and that. And here we have the same thing in Pinellas. Mm-hmm. You've got St. Pete.
And Hillsborough. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Hillsborough, you've got, of course, the city of Tampa.
Yeah.
But that's more of a homogenous situation. Here we've got two main cities in Pinellas, and all the other little cities, is Tarpon Springs, mm-hmm. you know, and Indian Rocks Beach, et cetera, et cetera. So it is a fight always to get those dollars, but there's no question that really the tail that wags the dog is the money that comes from the Clearwater Beach.
And you can see, and certainly we support the Rays Stadium,
right.
But the Phillies put more heads in beds than the Rays do.
Yeah.
And they're giving the Rays $300 million from tourism and development taxes, and that's not really justified based on the numbers. I'm not saying I don't want the Rays deal. I do want the Rays deal.
Mm.
But if they're going to get that money, then the Phillies need to get their fair share, because they actually do ring the cash register when it comes to that. And when you look at the numbers, in August and September, when the pennant races are heating up, the St. Petersburg and St. Pete Beach tourism numbers fall off the table.
Mm.
Nobody's coming.
Yeah, it's
and
right
our
there.
Numbers are straight across.
Black and white.
And so it's going to be an interesting process.
I hear
put
you.
It that way.
That's very, very well put. You know, Clearwater has 5 libraries, which is more than most cities with a similar population. Tell us about that expansion back when you were mayor, and especially about the 4-story main library.
Well, the main library is, you know, as I said, and was in a newspaper article when I was done, they talked about building a library for 30 years. We went ahead and did it. Congressman Bill Arrakis, Mike Bill Arrakis at the time, put that on a flag for me. It was Mike at the time.
Oh, was
his
it?
Father.
Oh.
And put that quote in there. We went ahead and did it. He thought that was pretty cool. And we found a way to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then we were building that, and then the North Greenwood Library needed to be rebuilt. And people are saying, oh, well, it's only a short distance. Why don't they just let them in? I said, no. I said, you have to understand, the people that lived in that community, when that library was built, they could not go to the main library because of the color of their skin.
Mm.
And guess what? That's not being taken away under my watch.
Good.
So I made sure that they built that library in the rec center. Because a lot of those people, even though it's fairly close, they don't have the transportation. You know, the
right.
kids and whatever, they go and use that library after school for the computers and what have you. It's very important for that community. So
absolutely.
I'm very proud that we built that.
Very, very much so. Well said. And, you know, libraries can practically become the pulse of a whole community. You know, there's so many things that happen there besides checking out books, meetings of all sorts, events. So it's really wonderful.
Do you see future changes for that library at all?
Yeah, they're right now. I mean, Lena Teixeira has been in discussions with the city manager and assistant city manager with the Dalí people about maybe putting a first floor exhibit in there and making that into an art area. It's still very early and preliminary in the discussions, so I can see something like that happen because it's a 93,000 square foot library right now. You know, the city meetings are in there and some of that, those things. And anymore, you probably don't need a 93,000 square foot library because of the internet and everything's available on your phone
True.
Or on your computer.
Times change.
There's some people that don't have those, but most people do nowadays. So I think they'll find other uses, but it'll still be a main library, but maybe have some art in there or some other type of exhibits like that where
gotcha.
People can come visit and enjoy it.
I've even heard that something might be done with the roof, maybe a lounge area or something.
That's possible.
Have you heard that?
I have not heard that, but
okay.
That's obviously possible. You know, when we first opened out, I was standing there with one of the local dignitaries, and I won't say who it was, but he looked at me and said, "This is really nice, but it should have been a Marriott." I said, well, yeah, maybe it should have been, but we had that demilitarized zone that you have to pass a referendum that Fred Thomas put in years ago, and we couldn't do that. It wouldn't ever pass a referendum.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Unbelievable. Well, we're going to, what do you want, hon? Did you want to say something?
Finish your sentence.
Well, we're going to take a short breather here for a few minutes, but first let's see if you can answer this question. True or false, every U.S. president has either worn glasses or contact lenses? The answer right after this.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
In 1955, the law firm now known as Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes made a decision. Instead of taking whatever cases came through their doors, they decided to focus specifically on personal injury. 64 years later, the law firm is one of Clearwater's longest-running personal injury firms. Available 24 hours a day with offices in Clearwater and throughout Tampa Bay, they're ready to put decades of experience to work for you if you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident or injured due to someone's negligence or recklessness. If you feel overwhelmed, uncertain, or unsure about your next steps after being involved in an accident or after a loved one sustained serious injuries due to someone else's negligence, call Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes at 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. That's 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. Non-attorney spokesman.
Shop the largest selection of Guy Harvey apparel, artwork, and gift items at GuyHarvey.com. From the world-renowned marine wildlife artist, the Guy Harvey online shop features the latest in performance apparel, classic Guy Harvey t-shirts, decor for every room in your home, exquisite ocean-inspired jewelry, and unique gift items, including custom merchandise not available anyplace else. Browse an extensive catalog of original Guy Harvey works of art and a full range of beautiful reproductions. As with all Guy Harvey merchandise, a percentage of sales benefits the ocean conservation, research, and education work of the Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation. The Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation will help ensure that future generations can enjoy and benefit from a well-balanced ocean ecosystem. Bring the undersea world into your everyday life at GuyHarvey.com.
Just about everyone is fascinated by the mafia. Books and movies like The Godfather, Goodfellas, Casino, and many others became bestsellers and box office hits. Did you know that a century ago, mobsters like Al Capone discovered Florida's tropical climate and sparse law enforcement? Mafia bosses from around the nation began setting up illegal operations in Florida. Now, for the first time, a new book titled Sunshine State Mafia, A History of Florida's Mobsters, Hitmen, and Wise Guys provides vivid stories and never-before-seen images of dangerous criminals who settled in Florida full or part-time. Written by renowned author Doug Kelly, Sunshine State Mafia exposes the hidden history of the mob throughout the state and includes Doug's own brushes with crime figures. Sunshine State Mafia is available at all major book retailers or obtain a signed copy by calling 727-724-4949. Or email sunshinestatemafia@gmail.com.
These days, amidst supply chain issues, staffing crises, and rising energy bills, it's not easy to be a successful entrepreneur in Clearwater. For many, financial fears have led to sleepless nights. On top of that, many more have employees and customers that they're trying to protect and reassure. A monumental task when they themselves are struggling with burnout. We're all experiencing a lot of intense emotions. So where can you find safe harbor? At Amplify Clearwater. Amplify Clearwater is your chamber of commerce, and the name says it all. To make Clearwater larger, greater, stronger. Here you'll find like-minded members who are seeking opportunities to learn from each other, to collaborate, network, support, and do business together. Every business owner's goal in 2022 is to grow their business. If you need help, your friends at Amplify Clearwater are here for you. Submit your application today at amplifyclearwater.com/join.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Kelly Kelly Show. I'm Kelly Kelly. I'm here with Doug Kelly, my better half.
Hey.
And before the break, Doug asked, is it true or false that every U.S. president has either worn glasses or contact lenses? And that is true.
Yes, it is. Huh. And for those who see Donald Trump without glasses, it's because he's wearing contact lenses.
Interesting.
And Obama and many others. Because it, I guess it's more appealing.
It's more appealing?
Well, I think so, instead of the glasses, perhaps.
All right. We've been chatting with Brian Onk Sr., who has served twice as the mayor of Clearwater and has seen a lot happening in between those times.
Yep. Thank you for being with us, Brian.
My pleasure. I wouldn't miss it.
Good. One of the interesting things that the city has been doing for many, many years is a sister city's relationship with the city of Nagano in Japan. And that entails a contingent of people from Clearwater and students going to Nagano and vice versa every couple of years. And it so happens this particular October, we do have a contingent going to Nagano, which will include us, mm-hmm. Kelly and I.
Only
and
also, because you're on the advisory board.
I'm on the advisory
you're
board for the city.
You're not special in any way.
And also, Brian has been there a couple of times. Tell us about it, Brian.
Yeah, I was there twice when I was mayor from 99 to 2005. It was a couple years after the 98 Nagano Winter Olympics.
Wow.
So it was kind of cool. They took us around and showed us all the new venues. And they just treat you so well. I turned around. I told the Times. The first time I went into their city hall, you go up the stairs, and they had all the employees line up the stairs clapping, and there was this third grade choir singing. And I said, I turned around and looked to make sure Bill Clinton wasn't behind me. So they couldn't be doing this for me. And Clinton was the president at the time. You know, and that's just the way they are. They're just so hospitable, and you will have a great time. The city will have a great time. I'm even thinking about seeing if maybe I can go, because it's been almost 20 years since I was there.
Yeah, that'd be great.
See how it's developed, and I still have some old friends over there. But it's a great trip. Tokyo is wonderful. It's a little intimidating, though, because you travel to Germany, you travel to France or Spain or whatever. You can kind of read the signs, but you can't over there.
Oh, really?
You know?
Yeah,
that's true. My rule of thumb was you have to have somebody there with me, and they took me around for 3 days, and it was great. But, I would have been lost. If I,
yeah.
And I look at myself as a savvy traveler, but not there.
Understood. So. Yep. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure we have some Japanese speakers coming on the trip with us.
I'm sure we do.
Yeah.
And the really cool thing is taking that bullet train from Tokyo to Nagano.
Oh, really?
It's normally about a 4.5 hour ride, and I think it's about 2 hours, 2.5.
Amazing.
Wow.
I think it's up over 250 miles an hour.
Wow.
And it's just kind of floats just above. It's amazing how it's hard for me. I'm not technologically gifted.
Yeah.
But it's just incredible. And you look out the window, and there it's just like makes you dizzy looking out the window. Yeah, it's going so fast.
Guess you can't take any pictures on the way there.
No, it's pretty difficult. You have to have a really high-speed shutter to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Wow. Is there anything else about that trip that stands out to you, like the food or where you stayed?
Well, most everyone stays with families.
Oh.
And I stayed with the mayor when I was there twice, the different mayors and their family. Well, the one time I stayed with the big businessman who brought the Olympics there and in his little compound with his family, which was great. And just getting to meet the people and seeing everything, the food is outstanding. And my rule of thumb was, don't tell me what it is, and I'll try it. If I don't like it, I won't eat it. I don't need to know it's squid guts or something like that.
Yeah.
But, if
cockroach.
The other thing you have to be careful of, you're sitting there at lunchtime and you're having a nice chat with your neighbor over here, and they have these little glasses that are about 8 inches tall, and they keep filling it with beer, and after a while you turn around and say, how much beer did I have? It's only lunchtime. So you have to be careful of that. But that's a tradition. That's the way they are. So.
Wow.
You can get schnockered real quickly. Yes. I know in Germany, in the Oktoberfest, they get these giant beer steins.
Oh, yeah, the beer steins.
And you get two or three of those in you, and you can't touch, you don't know where your nose is.
And those are a heavier alcohol, too.
They get crazy. Have you been overseas, Ed?
No, not yet.
Yeah, no, he was down in St. Croix, though, for quite a long time, which is pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
I have a little backstory. My dad, I was born in Japan, but not, obviously, my parents weren't Japanese. My mom and dad were Americans. He was stationed at an Air Force base called Itazuki Air Force Base, which is still there, and it's right next to the town of Fukuoka, which has now got, I think, 2 or 3 million people in it. It used to be just a little old village. And my dad's assignment with the government was to go around Japan and the little outer towns and see if it was safe for Americans to be out and around.
Wow.
Awesome. And he found that they were, just like you said, Brian, the people were forgiving. They were almost like he was a conquering hero. They treated him with just like a king.
Even in 2001 and maybe 2004, they were apologizing to me and us for World War II.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, what are you going to say?
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's almost, it's kind of embarrassing in a way because I'm not going to go over there and bring that story up too often because it sort of reminds them of the war. So I'll leave that out, but in any case, I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be a great trip.
Too.
It's going to be a great trip. Kelly and I are really looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's 40 people that are supposed to come.
Yeah, I think they're going to allow up to 40.
Yeah.
But that's going to be the people in the council, mm-hmm. some of the staff, like the manager, Jennifer Poyer.
Jennifer's going to go.
Jennifer, and of course, us board guy people on the Sister Cities board.
Absolutely.
And there's also a Sister Cities Incorporated, which is which handles most of the transfers of the students. So it's going to be a big group.
Absolutely.
And I think this time we're going to be in a hotel.
Okay. Yeah.
Instead of putting a lot of pressure on the families locally. So that's what I understand.
Yeah.
But it could change.
Okay. Brian, you recently had a big event in your family. What happened?
I happened to get married on March 27th to Brenda, who was my fiancée for 3 years. It was well overdue, but I was kind of busy the last year, so we kind of took that opportunity for me winding down my term and got married down at Chapel by the Sea, just the two of us. Had a nice dinner over at Sam Pearl after that. And,
lovely.
Nice.
And then you consummated your marriage.
We with a steak and a bottle of wine.
So have you had your honeymoon yet?
No, we've done a lot of traveling over the years. We are going on a nice trip this summer to Spain for our niece's wedding, and going to be there for almost, 17, 18 days.
Oh, that's awesome.
That sounds
wonderful.
We'll do a lot of traveling around there and end up in Mallorca for 4 days. It'll be fun.
Are you going to do Portugal, too?
No, just Spain.
Just Spain.
Just Spain, yeah.
Okay.
This time, so.
That's pretty cool. It's also worth noting that back in 2017, you and your then-wife, Karen, were voted Mr. and Mrs. Clearwater.
That's right.
And that's quite an honor. That's quite an honor.
Entail, anyway?
She deserved that. I mean, they say it's kind of a lifetime achievement award for what your commitment and what you've done for the community over the years. And Karen is, we lost her on March 3rd, 2018 to brain cancer after an 18-month struggle, which she did as well as she could, and it was unfortunate because everybody loved her. She was only 63, so she was way too young.
But terrible.
She had been very involved with the community. They affectionately called her Mrs. Mayor when I was mayor the first time. But she continued all through, did a number of things, and was very well-liked and respected. And I don't think I would have been recognized without her, so
I was fortunate. What about the rest of your family now? I think you have a son that's fairly well known in town.
Brian Jr. is one of the busiest attorneys in town, I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
The governor put him on that Disney board, and that's finally settled down, and they're doing business over there. And he was offered to be the legal counsel for the Republican Party in the state. The guy that offered him, though, is the guy that ended up
having to resign.
I'm not sure where that stands, but he's an alternate delegate for the Republican convention this year up in Milwaukee. So he's going to that.
It's wonderful.
So he's very busy, and one of his big clients is BayCare. He does a lot of MedMal work for them and a lot of administrative work for them. And then he also does a lot of land use, obviously, with Clearwater and the county and in St. Petersburg now. So he's very busy.
He's a really, really, really bright young man.
He really is.
And I've really enjoyed knowing him. and collaborating with him on this and that, and he's just a...
He's the local political guru. If you want to get elected to office, everybody goes to him, and he tells them how you do it.
He is a mover and shaker of Clearwater. Mm-hmm. No
Did
doubt
he get his
it.
Brains from his dad or his mom?
I think he got his mom's personality. He got her personality. The brains, maybe probably both of us, but I don't know. He's smarter than me, so I don't know.
We're going to lighten things up just a little bit and subject you to our infamous Make a Choice game.
Okay.
Kelly and I are going to ask you a series of questions, and you must choose your favorite of the two.
Okay.
And Kelly, as she hunts up the page?
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
Everything's out of order. So anyway, do you prefer mangoes or bananas?
Bananas.
Hmm. Okay.
You have to have a taste for mangoes. Yeah. Ed, what do you think?
Let me tell you, when I go to St. Croix every year, they're like this big.
Yeah. The mangoes?
You got to eat them in the shower, though. I mean, that's how bad it is.
Wow.
I like mangoes in a sherbet. A mango sherbet.
Me too.
Oh,
yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Me too.
Okay, fishing or hunting?
Fishing.
Yeah. We don't do too much hunting in Pinellas County.
No.
But fishing, yes. It's really, really good.
Yep.
Both in the intercoastal and also in the Gulf.
Absolutely.
Yeah, super.
Have you been to Alaska?
I have not. That's one that we're going to take an Alaska cruise at some point.
Okay, well, this question might not apply.
Well, apply it anyway.
Do you prefer whale viewing or bear viewing?
I'd probably like to see a bear at a safe distance.
At a safe distance, yeah.
Especially a polar bear, maybe, or a grizzly.
How about not at a safe distance? Kelly and I have been on a couple of bear viewing excursions, and you fly in on a little prop plane into a wilderness area. You have a guide, and there is no fencing.
Wow.
Nope.
And it is you with 800-pound brown bears, sometimes... catching fish right below your feet. And it is exhilarating, but I don't think I'm going to do it too often.
Yeah, right.
You got to go in salmon season when their bellies are full.
Oh, you better believe it.
Yeah.
Preoccupied.
Okay. How about a choice between an Amazon cruise or a Rhine River cruise?
Rhine River every day, 100%.
Yeah.
Have you been on one?
I have.
Oh, okay.
Back when.
Mm. Yeah, we've never gone.
No, I would choose a Rhine River cruise too. Yeah. All those castles and the history is phenomenal.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind to see piranhas up close and personal.
Yeah, mosquitoes and flesh-eating insects of other types. Who knows?
Ham sandwich or peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Ham.
Ham. Okay.
How about you, Ed? P&J?
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
Yeah, me too.
I would, too. I'll tell you what's great. I know it sounds revolting to some, like Kelly, but I get the peanut butter and jelly, but I put sliced bananas and raisins on it.
Jeez.
I've heard people put bananas on it.
Oh, boy, is it good. Yeah. It is delish.
Yeah. All right.
Fiction or nonfiction?
Nonfiction.
Okay. I'm with you there.
Okay.
Kelly, you like fiction.
I do.
You're more into that?
Mm-hmm. News from TV or internet?
That's a tough one. I read a lot on the internet, so I'll probably say internet.
Okay.
You get a more detailed explanation. News has to cut it short.
Well, here's one that's been of your... Knowing your background for 30 years, here's your choice. Cable TV or radio?
Cable TV.
Now that's a segue into your main position in life, your main employment, which was the cable industry. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was I was fortunate back in Delaware to be invited to appear on a local cable television show. And you have to understand, Wilmington, Delaware is only 5% of the Philadelphia TV market, so they paid no attention. So the cable company opened up their own little news operation. And I was a guest because I ran a couple semi-pro baseball teams, and they had me come in and talk about the league. And then within a year, I was running the place.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And then within 2 years, I was recruited down here to run all the programming for Vision Cable because they were one of the few operations like I had in Delaware that did the same type of thing, and they wanted somebody with experience. And so they brought me down, and we started doing all the high school football and basketball games, the Philly spring training, and a lot of people knew me that way. And then somehow 10 and a half years later, I was mayor of Clearwater. go figure, how did that happen?
Never had a broken
bone in my body, so it was fun. I stumbled into this and ran that operation up there, got recruited down here, and as they say, the rest is history. And I was there for 30 years. I got there in July of 1988, and I retired in January of 2018 because my wife was sick. So it was almost 34 years.
Wow. So has much changed in the 30 years with the internet?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just kidding.
You know, we used to run local TV and local sports, and now they don't do that anymore. They have Bay News 9, of course, but we did. 1 year, we did 5 Clearwater High School football games on television.
Oh, cool. Wow. You know? Yeah. So. I was back in college. I was going out with a gal whose dad was one of the pioneers in cable in Florida. This is back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And they lived in Palm Beach and were doing very well. Okay. But I remember the initial contract for cable was $5 a month.
Yeah, that's changed.
Yeah,
that changed over the years. But what people don't understand, and I'm not defending, but they don't understand is the cable company just doesn't pull the signals out of the air and charge you whatever they want. They pay for that.
Yeah.
And I tell people, if cable companies paid for what they pay for all the ESPN networks, all the local sports like Bally Sports, if they paid that for every channel, your basic cable bill would be $500 or $600 a month.
Wow. Yeah.
That's how expensive those channels are to pay to get.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so it's not, they're not as greedy as they appear.
Yeah.
It costs money. And they're not making money on cable anymore. They're making money on the internet, and now they're into a phone.
Phone.
Yep. Exactly.
So that's where the cash cow is now. The other part is just kind of they're kind of running in place because it's so expensive to get the networks anymore.
I think you needed to hear that, Doug, right?
Well, I originally had Bright House, which was the forerunner. Yeah, and then, of course, now you have Spectrum. And Bright House, I really enjoyed dealing with them. They had tremendous customer relations. They would bend if you wanted them to bend within reason. Spectrum, man, they're all business.
A big corporation. So, I'm not going to disparage Spectrum because I did retire from there.
Yeah,
I will tell you, my boss and I always talk about the fact when we were at Bright House, we could call the owner of the company and her son and daughter who ran the company, and they'd talk to us and call us right back. Yeah. Now, you know, they're running 40 states with millions of people employed, and we're just a number.
Yeah.
So that's just the difference in a big corporation as to a family-run business like Bright House Network.
Exactly.
I think Bright House was one of the better cable companies that we had through the years
around here.
I agree.
No doubt.
I was upset when the final day came when you used to have a choice whether you could afford or not to get cable, or you had rabbit ears and some good tinfoil.
Yeah.
You know, you just watch your regular channels. Now that's gone.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really have any way to do it. I think there's some apparatus you can get to maybe pull a few stations out, or the internet, but you're going to have an internet connection.
Well, some of us old timers still remember TV with three channels.
Oh, yeah.
ABC, yeah. NBC, CBS, and sometimes PBS.
You had a PBS station. Yeah.
And
where I grew up, you had one or two UHF stations out of Philadelphia. You used to always have the college basketball.
Yeah, and everybody had an antenna, a TV antenna.
Yeah.
And it's
your remote control were the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, times do change. See,
how about the sign off at the end of the night too?
Oh yeah.
National anthem and then the bars.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Right. I forgot about that.
Color bars.
They closed down at 11 o'clock or something like that. That was it.
Midnight. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to remember too how much things have changed for the better in terms of your choices.
Oh yeah.
Sure.
It used to be going to a supermarket. 100 years ago was a lot different than a supermarket now. You got a lot more choices and things, and it is expensive. I think we're paying $85 or $90 for both the
internet and phone.
Internet and a home phone line.
Yeah.
So we don't have to give out our cell phone to people we don't want to give it out to. Mm-hmm. But so that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, listen, we're going to be back in a jiffy with more interesting and fun chat with Brian Ox Sr., so stick with us right after these short messages from our sponsors.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
In 1955, the law firm now known as Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes made a decision. Instead of taking whatever cases came through their doors, they decided to focus specifically on personal injury. 64 years later, the law firm is one of Clearwater's longest-running personal injury firms. Available 24 hours a day with offices in Clearwater and throughout Tampa Bay, they're ready to put decades of experience to work for you if you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident or injured due to someone's negligence or recklessness. If you feel overwhelmed, uncertain, or unsure about your next steps after being involved in an accident or after a loved one sustained serious injuries due to someone else's negligence, call Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noise at 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. That's 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. Non-attorney spokesman.
Shop the largest selection of Guy Harvey apparel, artwork, and gift items at GuyHarvey.com. From the world-renowned marine wildlife artist, the Guy Harvey online shop features the latest in performance apparel, classic Guy Harvey t-shirts, decor for every room in your home, exquisite ocean-inspired jewelry, and unique gift items, including custom merchandise not available anyplace else. Browse an extensive catalog of original Guy Harvey works of art and a full range of beautiful reproductions. As with all Guy Harvey merchandise, a percentage of sales benefits the ocean conservation, research, and education work of the Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation. The Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation will help ensure that future generations can enjoy and benefit from a well-balanced ocean ecosystem. Bring the undersea world into your everyday life at GuyHarvey.com.
Just about everyone is fascinated by the mafia. Books and movies like The Godfather, Goodfellas, Casino, and many others became bestsellers and box office hits. Did you know that a century ago, mobsters like Al Capone discovered Florida's tropical climate and sparse law enforcement? Mafia bosses from around the nation began setting up illegal operations in Florida. Now, for the first time, a new book titled Sunshine State Mafia, A History of Florida's Mobsters, Hitmen, and Wise Guys provides vivid stories and never-before-seen images of dangerous criminals who settled in Florida full or part-time. Written by renowned author Doug Kelly, Sunshine State Mafia exposes the hidden history of the mob throughout the state and includes Doug's own brushes with crime figures. Sunshine State Mafia is available at all major book retailers or obtain a signed copy by calling 727-724-4949. Or email sunshinestatemafia@gmail.com.
Ask any successful entrepreneur. They'll tell you that the fundamental way to grow a business is through strategic connections. Relationships drive business. Forming a solid network of reliable contacts is essential to your growth. And there's no better way to get connected in Clearwater than through membership in Amplify Clearwater, your chamber of commerce for Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Amplify Clearwater is your first level of support. Membership affords you the opportunity to meet like-minded business owners you otherwise wouldn't have met. You'll be able to collaborate, network, support, bond, and do business with each other. Interested? Then visit AmplifyClearwater.com. There you'll find all the information you need to make an informed decision and start the membership application process. Amplify Clearwater. One community, one chamber, one vision. Join today at AmplifyClearwater.com.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Well, thank you for being with us so far today. We still got some more of the Kelly Show here. Just wanted to mention that Brian Unk Sr. was our guest. He had to step out early for something to make an appointment, but really a super nice guy.
Yeah.
He did a great job stepping in. We did mention during on the air that he had come in for the last 11 months of the term that Frank Hibbard had been mayor. He resigned, mm-hmm. and he went by unanimous consent of the folks on the
council.
He was elected to run the city for the next 11 months and did so very ably. I wanted to ask you something, Ed. You're pretty glued into things that are going on. Governor Santis just signed into law a bill that the communist form of government should be part of the school curriculum. What's your thoughts on that?
I haven't seen the whole deal yet,
yeah.
So I started to read up on some of it and then I got distracted, but I haven't seen the whole.
I've got mixed feelings about it too. I'm not sure we want to propagandize our curriculum.
Yeah,
can you explain what's happening for those of us not in the know?
Well, he's signed a lot of things lately relating especially to children and school children,
mm-hmm.
About prohibiting children from becoming having social media accounts,
mm-hmm.
Up until they're 14 or 15 they can't,
right.
And then after that only with the parents' consent, you know, because of the pornographic and sexually,
mm-hmm.
explicit
I understood, but
things.
What's this thing about communism.
Well, why that's
he
just
want it.
It
in the school curriculum.
He signed it as a bill, and it's law. It starts, I guess, next year, and it basically, I don't know the full bill, but it basically states that communism, that form of government, has to be taught or introduced to people, and I guess to show the ill effects of it, to show that free enterprise and democracy is superior.
If the parents aren't regulating what their kids are watching, I guess he's trying to pick up the slack.
Maybe
is
so.
What he's trying to do.
Especially
with
college.
I don't know if that really can work. Because listen, what they do in school, you can regulate. They're going to go home and do whatever their parents let them do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
right. But don't you think that they should be educated about what communism is?
Well, maybe different forms of government include that.
Yeah.
Certainly, college professors now are going way off track of their curriculum and trying to infuse people. So does that make a difference
Well, college professors are no longer teaching; they're giving you their opinions.
Yeah.
That's the difference,
you know,
and that my opinion is it should be this way, because when I was taught out of a textbook, it was out of the textbook.
Yeah.
And those were approved by years and years and years of distribution.
Right, right.
But now you've got a teacher that says, well, close the textbook and I'll give you my opinion of what's really happening.
I know, it's totally out of...
And that's wrong.
Yeah.
That's wrong. And I was, if I had a kid in the weeds, I would want to know what that kid's being taught.
Sure, absolutely. 100%.
You know, and I'm all for putting cameras in the classroom.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, I think, too, the idea...
I mean, they did it during Zoom, right?
Right.
They did it during Zoom. Why can't those cameras be in there?
Yeah.
Because now you can keep an eye on things that are going on. You can see things that are being put on the blackboard.
True, true.
You can see the bullies in the classrooms.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, there would be more control of that without a doubt.
You know, I taught Chinese kids for 3 years on the internet.
Yeah.
And what's scary is what some of them come out and say, that, you know, one wants to be a spy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're brainwashed totally.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah.
They're totally.
I think it's important that maybe, and they're going to school starting at 6 a.m. to 10 p.m.
I would amend his bill if it was me, and of course I'm not I'm not a legislator.
You go to Japan, look at the Japanese schools, the way they teach their kids.
Sure.
They teach them the correct way.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, maybe teach them not just how bad communism is, and it I would be the first to say that is a very poor form of government, which has been proven on the international stage. But I would mention other types of government forms,
too.
That's
how I was taught.
Yeah.
Socialism. You know,
Exactly. Right. And then you can sing the praises of our democracy and our republic and all those things, too.
It's not perfect, but it's the best there is.
Well, it is. Yeah. It goes sort of like with the thing about whether you should have a Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of the class. And I say yes.
Yeah.
And prayer. If you don't want to pray, don't pray.
And if you don't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance, don't say it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And really, the kids that age, it's not their opinion, it's their parents.
Exactly. Right. They're carrying that. And to an extent, I did too. And I used to hear my dad say this or that, and I carried it until I got into college and finally formed some of my own opinions. But, Kel, it's time to wrap things up. Let's thank our guest.
You don't have an opinion. Our guest today was Brian Unk Sr., former mayor of Clearwater. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I want to thank also Jimmy Johnson, Wade Boggs, and Guy Harvey quickly for helping us with promotional for the show. And do you have a verse?
I do. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
All right. And remember, don't go looking for happiness. Take it with you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to the award-winning Kelly Kelly
WTAN,
Show.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks. Opening statements are over and testimony got started today in Donald Trump's hush money trial in New York. CBS's Jared Hill is following it.
Walking out of court following opening statements, former President Trump downplayed the allegations against him.
It's a case as to bookkeeping, which is a very minor thing in terms of the law, in terms of all the violent crime that's going on outside.
Former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker was the first witness called. The state says he was part of an alleged catch-and-kill scheme to purchase and prevent the circulation of negative Trump stories.
In Washington, the Supreme Court heard several hours of arguments today on whether it's cruel and unusual to ban homeless people.